Hello, it's Kevin Thompson, founder of 99 Capital Group, and thank you guys for joining the 99's podcast. As I always say, subscribe to the channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB the CFP Live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us requests, go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule your appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, engage, and also entertain. And today we're bringing on Joyce Laba. We're talking money. We're talking behavior. We're bringing it all around and back to the center. Hey, Joy, welcome to the show. Let's get it. Joy, this is one thing I'm going to say. You've done such a wonderful job on LinkedIn and what you're doing, what you're bringing to the table. And I'm going to tell a story and I'm going to plug you a little bit because you better not cry. So, and the reason why she's on the show is because what she does, what she brings to the table, the behavior side of the financial perspective, Joy, she's a CFP and she has alphabet soup like me, right? But again, MTAX, MA, LM, LACMH, all these different, these letters behind her name. But first, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining the 99's podcast.
Thanks for having me. I think it's really cool, the work that you do, and I'm really honored to be on your show.
Well, you know, this is giving. We're in the world of giving, and I want to give, and I want to provide, and I want to just put good vibes out there, and I want to give everybody a good story about what you've done for me recently. I have a client who pays me hourly, and he's going to eventually bring all the assets over and all that. So he's getting ready to retire, but long story short. But anyways, he was saying, you know, oh, I need to get more money. And what happened to him back during the 20%, 30% decline recently, I think like 2 or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, mm-hmm. he lost about $1 million or $1.5 million. And he was mm-hmm. like, oh my God, he felt devastated. He was crushed. I could see it in his face. And now he's back, and now he's back to even more, right? And I was having a conversation with him recently during one of our sessions. And I said, do you remember? And I thought about you, Joy, seriously, this is all about you. I said, Joy would say this. This is what Joy would say, because I'm typically like a numbers guy. I'm like, this is what it says. But I said, I watched enough Joy. How did that make you feel when you lost X, Y, or Z? Why did it make you feel that way? And the conversation went entirely different. And I asked him, and this is from you, and thank you. I said, why do you need this much money? Like, why do you need, what's the difference between 3 million and 3.5? Like, why does that affect you so much? And he says he doesn't know. And we went into a different conversation. I was like, this is the first time I've ever gone that deep. So thank you, Joy, for what you provided me to go a little bit deeper with clients. I appreciate that.
You are welcome. Well, I love that story and I'm happy to hear that. And it's really reminding me why I do this. You know, mm-hmm. I was an advisor for a long time. I worked with people at all different asset levels. They started out independent, you know, working with really small dollar accounts. Through the course of my career, I ended up, my largest client was $27 billion. So I've worked with a lot of different ranges, and I've seen time and time again, people who have a lot of money and are really unhappy. And just on that constant chase, I need more, I need a little bit more. You get to that number and it's just a little bit more, like the carrot always keeps moving. And I was really curious about this. Like, why is it that it's so hard for people to be happy when they have mm-hmm. so much more than, you know, they once thought they needed to be happy?
Yep.
And so it really got me curious about what goes on beneath the surface with people. And what would it be like if we could help people rethink their relationship with money so that they actually can feel calm and peace and satisfaction, and maybe even realize they don't actually need as much as they thought they did, and they can allow that to flow to other parts of their community.
I get it, but we're taught in this industry that the more you have, I got to walk around with my number, right? I have my number, and I got to protect it at all costs. And like I said about my client, do you actually even know what that number represents? Like, what does that number actually mean? And I truly believe people don't understand the value in that number and why they put so much emphasis on it. And what you guys do such a great job of, especially the guys in the behavior side of things, you guys like to pick that apart and help people understand that it's more than a number. It's more than just you having $3, $4, $5 million, because to be honest, like, it's not about the number at all. It's just about what you're trying to represent, what you want to put out to the world in regards to what you represent. And quite often it's the number is just a side note. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know.
I would agree with you in that, and I think it's so interesting. At every point in my career, I feel like I've worked with both ends of the spectrum. So even when I was working with, billions of dollar accounts, I was also volunteering with VITA, which is the IRS's Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. And so I'm helping people file their taxes for free, people who make maybe $15,000 a year, right? And I'm also working with billionaires. So I've gotten to simultaneously see both ends of this periodically or simultaneously. And I feel like it's really impacted my view in that many times it's not the number, right? It's people's attitudes, beliefs, and relationship with money. Because I know people who earn $15,000 a year and are so happy, content, calm. And I know people who earn that amount of money and are stressed to the gills, right? And I also know people who earn 20x that, 50x that, and are stressed. And I know people who also are calm, right? So I don't actually think it's about the money. I think it's about what's happening in our heads and our hearts and our beliefs about the money and relationship with it.
It's the consumption economy. It's what we're drained, what we're trained to do. We want more. We want to buy more. We need more shoes. We need more clothes. We need more this. Our neighbor has that. Maybe I should have that. I was reading a book recently. I think it was same as ever. I can't remember the name of the book, but it was saying that you want what your neighbor has, and there's always going to be the next thing that you're going to be like, hey, I make $200,000 a year. He makes 200. He or she makes $200,000 a year, but she drives a he or she drives a BMW. Why am I not driving a BMW? Why am I driving an old Ford with 200,000 miles? And the next thing you know, that causes you to go buy the BMW because you are keeping up with the Joneses. And that's just a philosophical, I guess, training of what we are from a culture perspective. What say you about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. We live in an economy that is consumer driven, and the economy needs people to buy for the economy to keep growing. And so the whole and everything about our culture revolves around the economy, right? So everything is oriented to getting us to consume. And yet it does come at a cost. And sometimes a mental cost, sometimes an emotional cost, and can really impact our well-being. And so I mean, I think about this stuff all the time. And there was a client I had early in my career that was really instrumental. There were a couple civil servants. I think he was a civil engineer, she was a nurse, and they maybe 50, and they had over $1 million, which 20 years ago, $1 million was a lot more than it is now. And they, came to me for planning. And I was talking with them about like how did they acquire this much with these very modest salaries that they had, and they said, "Well, we're simple people and we just don't really need much." And so we reached a point when it was like didn't matter how much more money we made, we weren't going to spend more. So they now lived a life where they lived on one third, they saved one third, and they gave away one third to charity. And I saw their peace and calm and how completely just calm they were about wealth, about money. And they completely opted out of this keeping up with the Joneses rat race. I earn more, so I raise my standard of living, and I'm constantly, then I have these golden handcuffs keeping me on this rat race. They just opted out entirely. And it really was instrumental in my thinking in a lot of ways. And I was like, okay, that's what I want for me, first of all. But also, I couldn't help but notice with so many other clients who didn't have that, how torturous it was. And so that was also one of the things that early in my career ultimately led me to making a career change where I now, work with people on the emotional and psychological sides of money to understand more about what drives their decisions and helps them make better financial decisions.
You're talking about economics now. You're talking about diminishing returns in regards to the next dollar received. Yeah, I've learned that in Economics 101, but most people don't learn that stuff because they're still falling for it, right? They're still falling for the lifestyle creep. And a lot of our clients are dealing with that because it's what is ingrained in our society. 67% of our GDP is consumer based. We gotta keep spending money. And I tell myself, I force myself to honestly save to the point of it's a detriment at most points. I'm like, oh, I only got a dollar left this month. I got to be careful. You know, first thing I do, and this is what I teach everybody, pay yourself first, and then everything else will fall in line. I mean, I know it's tough, but again, I would always want to pay myself first. So here's my question for you. So in regards to the overall behavior side of the money game, what are you seeing people doing today in your field that you think is either A, going to positively impact them later, or B, negatively impact them later? Like what are some of the characteristics from a positive perspective that are some of the changes that some of your clients are making? Go ahead, drink some water. It's okay.
Yeah, thank you. There's a couple ways to answer this. I mean, I do work with individuals, and advisors will refer clients to me who are struggling with some aspect that is deeper than just financial planning, and they'll refer them to me and I'll work with them. I also work with advisors and help advisors skill up or even build completely new skill sets to help them work with their clients on a deeper level. So there's a couple ways that I see this. And let me just go back. And your question was, what am I seeing that people do differently around their money, right?
Yes.
So it's I'm noticing people, sometimes people start to get a little bit more introspective, where they notice that they're constantly caught in this spending, 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 and they're wondering why. I can't seem to actually stop this. Why? What is actually going on? And like, I don't want to have this relationship with spending that I do, where it almost feels like a compulsion and I can't stop. I feel stressed, so I doom scroll, shop, buy, and then I'm like stuck with all these returns, or maybe not, and my closet's full and busting out. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I stuck in this? I
It's
want.
easy, Joy. The answer is easy. It's doom scrolling. It's the one click buying. You know, it's the six click return. You know, I just gotta keep it. You left with a whole garbage full of or closet full of garbage. I get it.
And let's be honest, m many of these companies have hired psychologists to help them. How do they get people to spend more? How do they get people sucked in to the client experience and funneled into the outcome that they want? And so I mean, yes, we're adults and we're humans and we have choice. And yet there are, in some ways, like the deck is stacked against us in some ways. So this is where one reason why I'm really passionate about, like, hey, we can actually help people think about this differently and have a different relationship with their money. That's one reason why I work with advisors, because who is better positioned to help people rethink their relationship with money than financial advisors who already have the keys to the kingdom?
There's a Netflix movie out about this right now. I'm not sure if you've seen it. Have you seen that movie? It's about spending. What's it called? I don't know the name, but anyways, it describes what you're talking about, where Amazon went through all these psychological, tests, where it's like, we're gonna make the button green, we're gonna make the button blue, we're gonna change the screen to this, change the screen to that. Which one's reflective of more people buying things? And you're absolutely right on that. It's all psychological. I force myself because I'm a Costco guy. So when you get to a certain age, your hair starts turning gray like this, and all this stuff starts coming in. You become a value shopper really quickly. I'm a Costco guy. I don't want to spend much. I may wear the same shirt all day for the whole week, and no one's gonna know the difference, you know. But anyways, that's just me. I'm no matter how much money I make, I'm just gonna be the same guy. I just don't. I try not to fall into that dynamic. But what I will do is save a lot more, which again, I pay myself first, and that's just my whole ball game with that. Question. So in regards to the consumerism, and like you said, you work with financial advisors, right? So what are financial advisors saying to you in regards to how they're approaching these conversations?
Well, so it's interesting that a lot of advisors approach things similar to how you said you have tended to, that they come at it with logic and numbers. And it makes sense because we tend to be logical and analytical as advisors, is one reason we're good at our jobs. And we are around money so often and so many people's money that it kind of dilutes the emotional aspect for us and allows us to be really rational about it. But many people do have emotions that come up around money. And actually, advisors do as well sometimes. It's usually just like easier to be a little bit removed from those emotions for their clients' money. But a lot of us do have emotional reactions to money. There's a lot of meaning that money has in our culture and cultures. And so money does bring up these emotional reactions. And so when advisors are really want to change behavior, most times logic is not going to work, because if it was going to work, the client would have done it already, right? Think about how many times a client comes to you and they know they need to change their behavior, but they haven't. And so they're coming to you for help. And like, maybe, this guy's got a lot of letters after his name. He's got a lot of experience. Maybe he can help me do this. What I've noticed to be really effective is when advisors are able to like set aside the logical parts and analytical parts and really be with their clients and hear what their experience is and their emotional experience and validate it. One, that builds trust really fast. Clients love it. They feel really heard. And then start to go a little deeper and understand what's driving the behavior. Because most times it's not, doesn't have anything to do with the money, honestly. And
I
so,
100% agree because I'm an avid reader, of course. I'm not even seeing the post I'm making, all of that. One of the things that we're talking about behavior is that, not to get political, but what you just saw in November was exactly what we're talking about. It's an emotional response, and people was and the emotions win the game when you're having a conversation about making someone move. Psychologically, if you speak to someone's emotions, like Ross Perot saw this a long time ago. He had the charts. Hey, look at these charts. This is what it's telling you. Well, that's fine, but charts don't make people make a decision. What makes people make decisions is emotional. It's food prices. It's all the different things out there that they can see and have an emotional response to. But no one's gonna have an emotional response to the fact that, oh, oil's done this or this. Or this has gone down, and this, and this. If you show them in a chart, the chart's not real to them. So you are speaking my language there because it's not logical, it's emotional. And when you attach somebody from an emotional perspective, you're likely to get them to move in a direction that you're that is both fulfilling for you and the client. Last question for you. From an advisor perspective, what are you? I guess, like, how are you wanting to engage advisors to have deeper conversations to basically move the needle in the right direction, to get people to move more in the direction of, hey, the trustful relationship? What are you implementing to have better relationships working with advisors to bring that forward?
So there's a couple things. There are advisors who, it kind of depends on where advisors are in their growth
Their
cycle with their
practice.
business, as well as where they are in their skill building. So for advisors who are farther along in the business, they don't have as much time to invest in this. One way that I support them is I have a subscription coaching service where they can engage to the extent that they want. There's a community where they can actually post client situations and they're going to get personalized video advice from me on here's how you can work with this client and actually go deeper with them and help them change their behavior. They also get access to a couple coaching calls, group coaching calls, where they're going to get to hear their get their stuff addressed as well as hear others addressed. So this is great for people who have good skills, they want to refine and build it further, don't have a lot of time to invest in it, but want to get better. I also have another way of supporting advisors, and this is for folks who are either trying to add in a coaching piece to their financial planning practice, and or they are earlier in the career and they want to really rapidly build up to exceptional skill level, like take 20 years of skill building and get it in about 6 months. I have a more intensive training program where they're going to get training, they're going to get practice with real situations, none of this fake like let's be an acting class situation and pretend we're this. But like they get to practice with real situations and they get consultation as they're applying it to their client situation so that they actually build real skills and feel super confident in how to apply these with their clients. So I support in a couple different ways depending on how much time they have to apply to this.
Well, Joy, this has been a joy. I like to keep these short and keep these fun. So tell the people how they can get in contact with you.
Yes, you can go to my website, financialconflictresolutioninstitute.com. You can also follow me on LinkedIn. I have skill building content that posts almost every day to give you little micro skills to help you go deeper with your clients.
Hey, she's helped me. She's already helped me more. Trust me. Go ahead.
Yeah, and help your clients make better financial decisions, which is why
Yeah.
we're all in this business, right? We want to help
Exactly.
more people.
Yeah, exactly. So finally, you talked about your business and you're going through a little bit of a rebrand. Talk to me a little bit around that so the people can be aware.
Yeah, so I'm doing some work right now with someone to help me figure out how to really frame this in a way that resonates with people who really want this, because they are out there. I'm talking with a lot of them, and it's really the leading edge of the industry is how are we go do we go deeper with our clients? We don't have consistent language yet in the industry on how we talk about this, so it makes it a little tricky to try to communicate what we're doing. Like before Uber was a thing, someone said to you, like, hey, there's a stranger whose car. I want you to pay to get in a stranger's car and they're going to take you
No
somewhere.
chance.
Exactly, right? And now where would we be without Uber and Lyft? So I
Yeah.
feel like that's kind of where we are in the industry, where we don't yet have clear, consistent terminology around some of this. And so I'm working with someone to figure out how do we want to talk about this in a way, in ways that resonates so that people, advisors and consumers, know what to ask for and know what to look for, know where to find it.
Well, you're well on your way, and I'm here to support. And you've done a wonderful job. I love what you do. I love what you produce. And one thing I will say is this to everyone out there. If you're not building these types of relationships, you don't have a relationship. I mean, the truth of the matter is the emotional goes much further than just the logical, hey, we made you 5% to 6% to 7%. Those relationships can go away any minute because once the market downturn comes, they're gone. But if you have a very strong emotional relationship with your clientele, they're less likely to leave you. And that's why this is important. Thank you, Joy. This has been a joy. I appreciate it thank you for joining the Nine Innings podcast. And I can't wait to see what you got going in the future.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.
We had Joy on the call today talking about emotions and money. There's nothing. It's one and the same. Money makes the world go around, but emotions drive the direction. Thank you guys for joining the Nine Innings podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Don't forget my book, MLB the CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions, go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, engage, and also entertain. Thank you guys for a wonderful, wonderful session. Money, feelings, it all is one and the same. Stay humble, stay safe, my friends. I'll see you again soon.